This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, Ted Johnson, and joining us on the phone now, Lou Maloney, the best Boston baseball guest there is, WEEI and Nesson's own. And Lou Maloney, I'm going to ask you a simple question. $40 million a year contract. John Henry smoking cigars, posting on social media. Are the Boston effing Red Sox back, baby?
Well, you sure as hell like to think so. I mean, that's listen, life is good. I'm sitting up by the pool. They got Bregman. I mean, I'm styling right now. And they are as well. I think it helps on so many levels. He's a good player, winning player, kind of brings the approach you want at the plate, give you quality at bat, doesn't strike out. And then on the financial side, it's like, dude, yeah, you finally – recognize somebody you want, and you went out and got them. You paid a little extra for them, and it just proves to people that maybe they're back into the spending game again, or they are.
So, Lou, just to sort of like from what you understand how the negotiations went down, can you sort of stitch together a loose timeline for us and the fans at large? Because it seemed like Bregman was a no-doubter. Then there was a big ask. Then it felt like Arenado was the way to go. And next thing you know, last night it's 10:40 at night, and bam, Bregman 3 for $120.
Yeah, I think, to be honest with you, I think there were a lot of people, like, surprised that it ended up working out. There was really not much communication for a while. Then there was an offer, and I believe it was in that 3-100 range with deferred monies, but there was just, they knew maybe Bregman side Boris, they knew it wasn't the best offer. And when you started getting six-year deals from Detroit and trying to get a five-year deal from the Cubs and Toronto's involved, Houston's involved. It just sort of looked like the Red Sox weren't going to budge off their three-year ask. And if that was the case, it was like up to about 2 or 3 days ago, I had people telling me that they were being more aggressive on Arenado. And it was like, all right, well, Bregman's going to get his 5-6 years somewhere, and then they're going to trade for Nolan Arenado. But all along, it was like these deals were out there for Bregman, and you never signed them. And it started to make you feel like he was waiting for that final offer from the Red Sox, right? Like, he wanted to hit here. It's like Minute Maid, short left porch. Like, he wanted to play for Cora. He kind of, you know, saw the minor league system, saw a couple, and finally, I think they upped it from 100 to 120 and got the deal done.
Lou, it's so good to talk to you. I appreciate you joining us,
man.
Yeah, buddy. And it's I'm excited. I mean, I'm from Houston, and the Astros were my team, and I covered Alex down there for a very long time. So I know the player. I know what the Red Sox are getting. But you know, I love the fit from a intangible leadership style influencing this team. I mean, obviously the Red Sox mostly constructed of, you know, a lot of young up and comers, and a guy like him coming into the locker room. What does that mean? For this franchise, can he be a guy that can maybe be, I don't know, the default leader of this team? It just doesn't feel like Rafi Devers is that's kind of his jam. So could you see Alex kind of coming in and being a good, I don't know, professional leader and helping the young guys kind of learn this game?
Yeah, I think immediately. I think it's just when you have the career that he's had already, I think you immediately jump into that position. And you've been seen it before. I mean, Devers is a great hitter. But if it's not his personality, if he's not all the way in on it, that's just not who he's going to be. And I think Bregman is more of that. So it's they just need it. They need some more adults, right? They have so many young kids, and I feel like just wandering. I picture them all wandering around the room searching for someone to kind of talk to them about the pitcher they're about to face or the situation they're about to be in. And I just don't think they've had it, and now they got it in one guy. They have it in Story. He just hasn't been able to be on the field or present enough.
It's hard to be that guy when you're getting hurt a lot too, right? Obviously.
Yeah, you can't be. Yeah, you can't do it. You can't do it.
Our guy Lou Merlone joining us here on WEEI Afternoon. So, Lou, there's the pessimist in me is like, well, his best seasons came years ago when they were banging garbage cans down in Houston, and but he's been he's been consistently a 25 doubles, 25 home runs kind of guy. What do you think? Yeah. But then we see the numbers at Fenway Park, and it's like, oh, my God, he's the greatest hitter that's ever had 75 at-bats at Fenway Park. What is a what is a realistically optimistic projection for what he's going to do at Fenway?
Yeah, I think in that 280, 285 range, kind of who he's been, 25-plus, you know, to 30 home runs. You know, it's most guys like hitting it at home ballparks. They're familiar with it. It's like their style. It's what they want to do. And maybe one of the reasons why he's familiar and hits well at Fenway is because Minute Maid is very similar. It's a pull-heavy place for right-handed hitters. He's a pull right-handed hitter, short porch in left, and he kind of comes to Fenway, and there's no adjustment needed. It's just kind of do what you do. So, but I expect him to be that. I think a lot of people look at his numbers last year and say a down year. If you remember, the end of April, early May, people were like, this is the year the Astros don't make the playoffs. Like, their entire team was a mess. And he was as well, you know. And then I think it was around May 6th or 7th. If you look, I don't know, the rest of the year, he had 25 bombs in the last 111. Like, the first 30 games, it's just one home run. He's hitting 200. The whole team was a mess. But I just think that's kind of who he is. Now, the struggles against lefties the last 3 years is real. Well, I'm not going to deny that. Like, it's real. He hasn't hit lefties well since 2021. So they got to find out what's going on there. Hopefully they can make some adjustments, because this isn't a guy that struggled against lefties his whole career, but he has the last 3 years, and they're going to need that.
All right, Lou. So potentially, like, I see next to no downside with the Bregman signing, like so many people, but let's look at two potential roadblocks or issues. And one could be, how would you, Lou Merlone, or how do you think, as friend of Alex Cormann, Alex Cora, I'm Bregman and Cora, sorry about that. How do you think Alex Cora has the, hey, Rafael, how do you feel about moving to DH conversation without actually offending Rafi Devers?
Yeah, and that's the big question. Like, where does he play? I think the room, I don't want to say the room is split, but I have heard from people being like, yeah, he goes right to third. And a lot of that has to do with Christian Campbell plays a huge role in this thing. You know, if they feel Christian Campbell is ready to play second base, then, yeah, he goes to third, and Devers, they have that discussion, he becomes designated hitter. But, you know, if Campbell, they don't think he's ready, you're not going to move Bregman to third just so you can platoon David Hamilton and Vaughn Grissom. Like, I don't know why, what's the rush to get him in that lineup, you know? So I don't think he would do that. So we have to see, and that's the interesting part. Like, do you put him at second base the first 2-3 weeks of camp to try to get him accustomed to a new position when deep down you know he's just going to third anyway? Like, are we just going to waste time with this? So I don't know. The easiest fit is him just to start at second base, and then eventually, due to injury, you know, I don't think he finishes the year at second. I think he is your third baseman for most of this deal. And then when Campbell is ready, you know, maybe you make that move and you bring him up to second base.
And that's fascinating. I'll be curious. I mean, because I feel like part of Rafi's, you know, contract was him playing third base. That is why he was getting paid that much.
Yeah.
But that's something that's interesting. But Lou, what else? What else? Anything else? I mean, did they need? Some might say another. You know, still need more right-handed bats. I don't know. We're talking about maybe possibly a closer that they still need. What do they still need in your eyes?
Well, yeah, I think, let's get greedy, right? I mean, we're here. What the hell are we doing?
It's not our money.
So, I mean, I would have loved to have seen another kind of like veteran back end of the bullpen piece. And the only reason is because there is some injuries, right? There's Hendricks looks like he's fine. Whitlock looks like he's fine. Both those guys coming off of injuries. You've got Slayton, you got Chapman. Like, I would feel more comfortable if there was one more guy. Like free agency, there's a guy like Robertson out there. Maybe there's a trade. I don't know. But I will say this. I was kind of during today just kind of hanging out the field watching all the catchers work out. And I see Connor Wong working and you know, trying to get better defensively from maybe where he was been in the past. But my first thought was, what if he goes down? Like, what if he goes, then what? You know, like, they got this kid, Carlos Narvaez, who was like a triple-A guy they like defensively, a nice little backup, but they could use some depth at that catching position as well.
Lou, do you like the position that puts the big three in right now? Feels like now if they blow doors and blow people away, you find a place for them. If not, they go to Worcester and they kind of hash it out a little longer and then they come up when they're ready. Is this good for them in the long run?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, Meyer's behind both of those guys, only because like last year when everybody got called to the AAA, he got hurt right away and just missed some time. He's got to stay healthy and need some time. But, you know, Roman Anthony, that's why I said Campbell, the door's not closed here at all. You know, is there a reliever out there? Is there a trade to be made? Do you love the guy so much you're willing to move on from Willie Abreu or turn Seidon Rafael into a super utility player because this kid is just damn that good? And the same thing with Campbell, as we mentioned. Is he that good that we're going to move Bregman back to his normal position and tell Devers he's the DH? So it allows them, if they blow up, they're here. If not, hey, extended spring training in April in Worcester. It's not exactly a fun month weather-wise anyways. Try to get your feet wet. Try to get comfortable. Get your swing right. And in May, we'll see you in the big leagues.
Yeah, Lou, we were talking even earlier about how this is such a best-case scenario dub for the fans as well, because not only are you going to want to watch and listen to and just consume all things Red Sox as well as attend the games, but now all of a sudden, you know, 30 minutes, 35 minutes to the west with no traffic, you know, between the Pike and 290, all of a sudden Polar Park is fielding a phenomenal baseball team where you got like literally the stars of the future playing down there. But is there, I read this on Twitter, so obviously it has to be true. Just a bunch of, you know, bunch of just, you know, angsty Red Sox fans that are like, yeah, this is going to stunt the kids' growth. Like, doesn't that sound like contrarian thought if ever there was?
Well, to me, it just sounds like people that don't really know what they want because they're tired of the kids. They want to start winning now, and now they're worried about stunting growth kids. Like, the job is to win in the big league level, okay? What are we doing? Okay, there's nothing better. You're jealous of the Orioles the last 2 or 3 years. Why can't we be like them? Well, guess what? You are. You know, when somebody goes down, if somebody gets hurt, you call up the number one prospect in all of baseball. If the second guy goes down, you call up the third best prospect in all of baseball. Like, relax. Build your big league team. Let the kids develop. They're 20, 22, 23 years old. It's going to happen. We're just a bunch of impatient people. And I get it because I'm one of them.
Lou, you're down in Fort Myers. What's the vibe there today? I mean, is there like a bump in energy? I mean, are people excited about Alex now being here?
Yeah, there is. I remember kind of sitting home, I think it was like 2000 offseason, seeing that we had just signed Manny Ramirez. And it was like, dude, I want to go to Fort Myers now, you know. And you could see it, you know, because you walk in and I think there is some excitement just when you see like Crochet and Bueller and Chapman walking around. But there just seemed to be this void, right, this bat void. And it's just amazing how one guy just sort of changes the vibe and the excitement, I think. But, yeah, you could see it, and hopefully this thing gets finalized tomorrow and he's here.
Lou, I don't want to say that I wasn't totally paying attention, but at one point during this interview, I opened my app, and I just took the over on 86.5 wins. How are we feeling about my money return on that investment? Good bet?
Yeah, you know, I would say, like, before the Bregman thing, I thought, you know, like, low mid-80s. I don't know where it was before. I don't know how much it's moved because of him, 84, 85, but I just think they went from kind of like, yeah, they can stay in it if they stay healthy, to now having a lot of, you know, like more depth in case there is that injury to withstand it. So now I think they're pretty steady in that playoff race hunt right now. And that should take more than those wins.
And before we let you go here, we're all in on baseball season. It's sneaking up on us here. We're excited. We want to watch. We want to listen. Where are we going to get our boy Lou Merlone this year? What's the breakdown? Where do I find my guy?
Actually, I don't even know if it's official yet.
Oh, do you not work for us?
I'm going to, no, like just anything officially as far as like games I'm doing and whatnot. So I probably shouldn't.
Oh, okay.
Spill beans. I feel like I read a number, though. But I'm going to be.
It's a lot of games, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I'll see you at Stellwagen and the cast down in Marshfield. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it might have been an unofficial. It's a, that was like an unofficial number, Andy, just like the Red Sox have unofficially signed Alex Bregman.
Oh, okay. So we look forward to hearing, seeing Lou Maloney. He's excited. We're excited. Appreciate you joining us today here, Lou, on WEEI.
Thanks, Lou.
Thanks, man.
All right, boys. You have a good time back there. Hey, try to stay warm, will you? I'll be at the pool.
Shut the hell up, son of a mother. He's around a fun baseball team. He's around a pool. He's probably got a
82.
Drink.
Good for him.
I save Fort Myers on my phone as one of like the locations I want the iPhone weather to check in on every day. It is perfect in 82 there today while we're freezing our tips off up here.
It is cold and slushy and wet and yucky. And he's by the pool. Not going to lie, though, I did actually go in and sprinkle a little something on the over of it.
I watched. You're literally gambling mid-interview now. You've got a problem. Like, it's Ted.
We got to talk about that.
It's time to have a friend intervention when I'm in studio tomorrow.
It's that's a little scary, Fitzy.
Hey, I'm just optimistic. Isn't that what you do in the year 2025 when you're optimistic about a game or a team?
What was your total? What was your
86 and a half. I took the over.
I like it.
I think I'm fine. They're going to win 90 games.
I don't think the line moved.
I don't think it moved either. That's why
maybe
I actually did it quick. I think it may have actually previously been 86 and a half. They signed Bregman. They have a better
still
team.
Still at 86 and a half.
Yeah. So I'm going to, if you're going to give me money, I'm going to take the money you're giving me. And I feel like they're giving me money. I just have to wait till September, late September, to collect said money.
Unbelievable. Yeah, and people just show up with baseball bats, you know, when you can't give them that money if they finish with 85 wins.
I'm good for it, and they're not going to finish the yes, Dan?
I know this probably differs sportsbook to sportsbook, but a couple days ago, Covers.com had the Sox at 84 and a half.
Okay, so maybe it bumped up too, but I think I had checked on my particular app, and I don't know that it jumped much.
Okay.
If anything, I thought it was at 85 and a half. Now it's at 86. I think it just moved one game.
Plus, if Bregman doesn't get me two wins, then I'm going to be disappointed in more than just my lost bet. I'm going to be disappointed in his performance
and
the season.
$40 million for a freaking win? Is that so wrong to ask?
Jeez. Anyway, thanks for Lou joining us. I love his energy. I love his baseball.
Yep.
You know, he brings the passion of a fan, but also the insight of a former player and the ability to express it of a broadcaster. He's the perfect package.
I read 100 games. He's doing. That's what I read. 100
games.
100 games.
That's a lot of games.
I think he's the main guy now.
You know who wins there then? All of us, Red Sox Nation, because if you get to hear and see Lou, it's a good thing. Up next on WEEI Afternoons, we'll continue to break down the Bregman signing, but we'll also at 4:30, we'll have Andrew Razor Raycroft from Nesson. It's the Four Nations Tournament. We got Brad Marchand scoring winning goals. The U.S. is playing tonight. There's hockey going on, even if it's not in the NHL. We'll touch on that next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, we have Dan Ball and what's trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. Free agent Alex Bregman is a new home after agreeing to a three-year, $120 million deal with the Boston Red Sox on Wednesday night. The $40 million annual salary is more than $10 million per year more than other teams were offering. The deal includes two opt-outs and deferred money. Bregman, who will turn 31 on March 30th, finished the season last year with a .260 batting average, 26 home runs, and 75 runs batted in 145 games last season. We just spoke to Lou Maloney about the Bregman signing, and he answered the question Sox fans have been asking all day long.
Are the Boston effing Red Sox back, baby?
Well, you sure as hell like to think so. I mean, that's listen, life is good. I'm sitting up by the pool. They got Bregman. I mean, I'm styling right now.
Yes, Lou, we're very jealous. That comes on the heels of news that the Padres are in agreement with former Red Sox pitcher Nick Pivetta on a backloaded four-year, $55 million contract. The Red Sox get a compensation pick in the 2025 draft as part of that deal, which will land at 77 overall. The Celtics won their final game before the All-Star break last night at TD Garden. The final was 116-103. Jason Tatum led all scorers with 32 points. And Bruins captain Brad Marchand scored the second goal in Team Canada's overtime victory over Sweden. And the Four Nations face off tonight. Charlie McAvoy, Jeremy Swayman, and Team USA take on Team Finland. Puck drop for that one is at 8 p.m. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Timeout Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Bruins analyst on Nesson, Andrew Razor Raycroft, joins the guys, and that's next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
The best records will advance to the championship game. Point two on one, and they make it look easy. Brad Marchand, 2-0 Canada.
Well, that's the ability of Braden Point. Just love watching him play. His head ups all the way. A 2-on-1 break. He looks like he's going to shoot. Got it cocked and loaded and ready to go. The play right here gets picked off. Good play in the neutral zone. You can see Big Colton Preko with that reach. Banks it off the boards. Jarvis with a perfect pass after Hedman kind of poaches a little bit. And now you've got your 2-on-1 break. Look at Braden Point with his head up all the way. Brodin slides over to him. And at that point there, I'd like, from a goalie's point of view, leave the shooter to the goaltender and make sure the backdoor play is shut down. There's no chance for Gustafson.
The old make sure the backdoor play is shut down. That's hockey talk. Just want to be clear, that's Four Nations hockey talk.
That felt natural.
Canada.
Words to live by.
Brad Marchand scored a goal. Sidney Crosby had, I think, 3 assists. Canada beat Sweden 4-3 in the opener of the Four Nations tournament. Tonight, we have the U.S. playing, so I'm going to watch that because I'm
tonight,
a,
we skate.
Tonight, we 9 skate. Times out of 10, but tonight we watch U.S. hockey. I'm going to watch that because you put a flag on it. I'll watch it. I'll root for it. Real quick, before we get to our guy Razor, Mike in the car has been holding on for a while here as we banged through some of these guests. Mike, what are your thoughts on the Bregman signing for the Red Sox?
Hey, what's up, guys? Nice to talk to you. Your favorite Uber driver checking in. Ted, welcome to the show. You've been a good addition, buddy.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate that.
I'll just say real quick, not why I called, but I guess being a Super Bowl champion, it gets you a job where you only have to show up 12 hours a week.
Yeah, how about that?
I'm not hating. It just makes you wish I was born athletic instead of good looking. But anyways.
Well played, Mike. Well played.
Why, reason why I called, you guys had a caller earlier, I think his name was Billy, who said, oh, all you did with Bregman is replace the production from Tyler O'Neill. And he's not wrong about that. Yeah, absolutely. Between Bregman and hopefully the aggregate of healthier seasons from Story, Casas, and Devers, yeah, you're going to replace O'Neill's production. But guess what? The Red Sox didn't miss the playoffs last year because of their offense. Their offense was pretty good for the majority of the year. They missed it because of pitching and defense. So if your offense is pretty much the same as it was, your pitching got better. Excuse me, your pitching and your defense. Your pitching got better, and Bregman improved your infield defense. Yeah, they're at least contenders for a playoff spot. And like they say in poker, man, all you need is a chip and a chair, and you got a chance.
Ooh, I like that, Mike. All you need is a chip and a chair, and you got a chance.
I mean, when you the way he puts it, it's hard to argue.
Well, the one thing I'd push back a little with Mike is there was a period of time, and I'd have to go back and look, where the offense went south. And I remember even Cora, when he was joining us on WEEI Afternoons on Wednesdays, was like, our numbers overall look good. It's sort of like my criticisms of Tatum's and his inconsistencies. Sometimes you watch a game and he gets to 30 and you're like, wow, imagine if he hadn't taken the first quarter off what he could have scored tonight. And there was a period of time where the lineup and the bats went a little quiet. I think you're going to be, with Bregman, a more consistent professional lineup, night in and night out. Because even Tyler O'Neill went through a stretch where all he hit was home runs. He got his 31 home runs, but that's the only hits he was getting for a while there. So I do. I think they're going to be a better lineup top to bottom with Bregman in it, with a healthy Devers and with a healthy Casas. Those three right there. Healthy Devers, healthy Casas, and Bregman. You're a better lineup. You're a significantly better lineup. You're going to score more runs. You're going to have better power numbers. So, and the pitching's better. That, like, the whole point is, did they miss the playoffs because of pitching? Okay, they're better at pitching now. Did they miss the playoffs because of offense? Well, they're better at offense now, so they're not going to miss the playoffs now.
Did they miss the playoffs because of defense?
Maybe, and they're better defensively now.
So
no matter what you assign the blame of missing the playoffs to, they're better in that area. Whatever you
pick. Did we give up after the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? No.
No.
Yeah, obviously the pitching's better, the defense is better, the hitting's all, everything's better. Why can't we be happy about these things, Dan? Honestly, I think that's what we spent the least amount of time talking about on this show, on the station, and as Sox fans and analysts at large. I mean, they like, you talk about maybe having a six-man rotation heart. They may legitimately have six good to very good starters this particular season. We haven't spent diddly squat time talking about how reconstituted Walker Buehler could be like the steal of the offseason as far as right-handed starters with a plus fastball go.
Wait till we get to the World Series and we watch him dominate in the World Series. That's going to be fun.
I'm telling you, you're going to win your money. I'm going to get that mural painted in Boston. It is going to be a great time to be a Boston fan again.
It's also a great time to be a listener in WEEI Afternoons. Andrew Razor Raycroft from Nesson joining us now. Razor is brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Razor, how we doing this Thursday afternoon?
I'm wonderful. Good afternoon, everybody. How we doing there?
You sound a little down. I'm going to need you. You don't sound wonderful. Are you okay?
Oh, really? No, I'm good. I'm good. Sorry. Okay. I didn't bring the energy.
Okay, let's go. Better.
Is that good?
Yeah, it's okay, your Bregman Thursday.
That's right. Bregman's here.
Energy.
Let's go. We're winning the World Series. Didn't you hear? It just happened overnight. John Henry's smoking cigars somewhere and celebrating. So we kicked off the Four Nations play last night. Brad Marchand got a goal. Just any reaction to that action getting underway? Marchand scoring, you know, whatever you saw last night?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Lived up to the hype. There had been a lot of talk. Are these guys going to go hard? Is it an exhibition series? We saw all of that last night. That it isn't. They went real hard. The overtime was electric. So much fun. The building was incredible, as you would expect in Montreal. And it was nice to see one of the Bruins get tallied on the board there in Montreal.
Yeah, I know we hate the Bell Center just because that's where the rival Canadians play. But that does seem like a hell of a place to see a hockey game that matters, Razor. And I'm kind of excited, actually, to not just accidentally watch tonight, but, you know, lock in on the U.S. team. I don't know, for some reason, my hockey fandom, whenever it's nation versus nation, like the Olympics and now this, I think it ratchets up, and I think the same goes for a lot of people. Like years ago when it was Ryan Miller, the old Buffalo goalie that played out of his mind in the Olympics, right? That was an incredible Olympics. So tonight's U.S. Finland, and obviously there are very vivid memories for American hockey fans whenever you think U.S. Finland. But what should we expect out of the U.S. team tonight, and who do you think will be some of the stars that'll shine for them?
You're right. And best on best hockey, when hockey guys pull on their national jerseys, it's a different game. And it's just incredibly intense. It's a big deal to everybody. And we saw that not just last night, but this entire week, and how excited the guys are and how passionate they are. Team USA is locked and loaded. We always know that Canada has the best players in the world when you're talking about McDavid or you're talking about MacKinnon and Crosby, but the U.S. is stacked this year as well. And unfortunately for Finland, they've got a weakened back end. They've lost three players to injury on the back end, and it's tough for them to find depth. So this one, Team USA could really take advantage. Austin Matthews, Jack Eichel, the Tkachuk brothers, and then on the back end, of course, Charlie McAvoy, Zach Werenski's having an unbelievable year for the Columbus Blue Jackets. They're right there with Canada, and they play Saturday night. That's the main event, but tonight will be an appetizer to watch Team USA.
You know, Razor, this is just hearing you talk kind of lends to a broader question, just the state of hockey in the United States. I think I read somewhere that 15 players on the Four Nations USA team all participated in the USA Hockey National Team Development Program that's been established a long, long time ago. Just your thoughts overall on the United States, the hockey programs and developing talent and where that stands. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, the development program that you speak about is for teenagers, 17, 18-year-old kids, and they go and they work, and there's no model like it around the world. It's best in class, and that's why you have 15 guys that went through the program on this Team USA team. They're basically trained and bred to be on this team and be Team USA, and they do an amazing job. And the big thing is they're from all over the country now. What hockey is in the South, the Southwest, in Dallas, in Texas, in Arizona, the top players on Team USA are from all over the country, not just Massachusetts and Michigan and Minnesota, which was the standard in the 1980 gold medal team. So hockey's growing in a major way in the United States, and they continue to develop in a great way. U.S. hockey does a great job, and the development program is an absolute testament to all the world junior wins they're getting and now putting this team together this year.
Our buddy from Nesson, Andrew Raycroft, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. First, a quick question. Are trades allowed right now? Is there like a moratorium or anything, or are they allowed to do deals right now?
Deals are allowed to be made right now.
Okay.
I don't think the league will necessarily want a blockbuster deal to override the news that's going on with the Four Nations, but deals are definitely allowed to happen, and if they are going to happen, you know, maybe in the middle of next week you might see them.
Okay, so the next question there is, and you know this is always coming in some form or fashion, he scored a goal for Canada last night, Brad Marchand, where does he stand? You know, we entered the year talking contract extension and all that, then we went through the whole fiasco, he and Pasta hate each other and all that. He might get traded and all that. They're taking calls. Where does Brad Marchand stand with the Boston Bruins? Is he going to get extended? Is he going to retire? Is he going to get traded? Is he going to lead them to a cup in 2 years? Where do we stand here?
From my point of view, he's getting extended, or the deal's close to being done, or they're on the same page, and they can, because they have such a great relationship, and he's been here and won a Stanley Cup here, that they'll just get it done in the summer. No stress. We'll, you know, take care of all the other business you need to take care of and then get to me. That's typically what happens with Hall of Fame players or guys with their jerseys going to the roof. They're just, we'll get it done. We'll figure it out. Make sure you get all the other business sorted out. Tell me what you can give me and we'll go on from there. So I that's the way I see it. I don't see too much drama behind the scenes from anything more than that. Of course, there has been more outside noise this season, but that's that's based on the fact that they're not winning the division by 20 points like they have the last few seasons at this point.
Razor, a two-pronger right here for me. One, like with the break, do players that are not participating in the Four Nations tournament, do they, you know, treat it like some people do the end of an NFL season or end of a sports season? Like, do they jet off to someplace warm for a couple of days and decompress, or do people just sort of stay local, take it easy, and maintain that in-season mindset? And two, while just sort of Googling about for what kind of trades the Bruins could pursue, I stumbled on one in the hockey news where a writer was adamant in saying that the Bruins should be aggressive in pursuing Kraken winger Jared McCann. Could you tell me anything about him?
Jared McCann, I'll start with the second one first. Jared McCann's a pretty good player, unrestricted free agent in Seattle, so typically the West trading to the East. He's a scorer. You could compare him to a Jake DeBrusk in that, you know, 20 to 25 goal scorer, gets hot, gets cold, but can be a guy that absolutely chips in. So he is an interesting name and probably would, you know, without digging too deep, would check some of the boxes that have affected the Bruins, and that he can create from nothing. And sometimes I think that's where the Bruins are at. They need a player that can, not every game, you're not getting a David Pastrnak in the deadline, but just a guy who can out of nowhere score a goal or out of nowhere score two goals and get you a win on a random Tuesday night. To the previous part of the question, absolutely, guys, you know, I would be on the first plane out of town at the end of this. So you're definitely taking a break. You are getting out of there. I've seen a bunch of guys playing golf and out on the beach, and you're taking this entire week. Now, they start practices up next Tuesday, so next Saturday they play games. So it's a two-week break, but technically it's only 8 or 9 days because they're going to start practicing on Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. So you basically, for lack of a better term, blow your brains out here for 4 or 5 days and then, you know, get on the bike probably Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so you're not a complete slob when you show up to practice on Tuesday.
I'd love to just go blow my brains out with some NHLers someday. Yeah, I bet you that's a good time, man. I don't blame you for getting the H out. Razor, we got 25 games left in the season when the boys come back and we pick up the regular season again. What are you looking for? What are you hoping for that you see from this team with about 25 games left in the schedule?
Yeah, I tell you, the big ones are the seven before the break or before the trade deadline, and that's really going to dictate if they can come out of the gates and get a reset from this, enjoy their beach time, and be a better team, be a more consistent team, and go 5-2, 6-1 in those seven games. I think they become a team that looks for a Jared McCann or looks for that one extra piece. It doesn't cost a lot. I'm not talking about a first round pick or a huge, huge buying opportunity, but just add a couple pieces that might put you over the top in a first round matchup. So again, the 25 games are one thing, but I'm really looking at the seven games out of the break to know what this team is and know what kind of direction they're going to go in.
Razor, you know the deal. We ask our guests to predict the game. So tonight's game, you got USA-Finland. Looks like USA a pretty heavy favorite. How's that one going to play out?
Yeah, I don't have to go too far. I'm going not on a limb at all here and picking USA to go on a pretty good. They're gonna show well tonight. Canada squeaked it out in overtime last night. They entertained everybody. They started out real hot. But Sweden's a much better team, especially on the back end, than what Finland is. I already mentioned the injuries that Finland's had. So I expect USA to pound away on Finland tonight, but they'll keep it somewhat close. So I would pick USA. I would pick the over, and I would think that Finland kind of keeps it close for half the game.
Wow, USA and the over. I like the deal. Can USA win this thing?
Yeah, absolutely they can. Absolutely. Canada is going to be formidable. Sweden, like I said, you can't sleep on Monday. Team USA plays Sweden at the Garden, and it'll be a great game because, again, Sweden's tough to close out. But absolutely Team USA and Team Canada should be in the finals Thursday, and Team USA can get Canada for sure.
All right, love Razor. I like the call. We'll enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome, fellas. Appreciate it. Have an awesome
weekend.
Thanks,
buddy.
Thanks, Razor.
Too.
Andrew Rake.
Come
hey,
on,
that
baby.
Was not only just for the Bruins. He gave some love to the USA. I'm so fired up for tonight now.
Oh. Where's Razor from?
Canada.
Canada.
And he's giving
us
love.
That's a little bit of not a Homer Horn worthy prediction. He was pumping the tires, the old US of A.
Don't worry. He earned that earlier on in the conversation.
Oh, okay. Well, I love Razor, and he's brought to you.
Come on.
He's brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. When we come back, we'll break down a couple things that Razor said. There was something I pulled out of there that I want to have Stiz replay for me and everyone else to see if it sounded as leading and definitive as it did when I heard it live. So we'll pull something out of Razor's comments up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
I'd love to just go blow my brains out with some NHLers.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
From my point of view, he's getting extended, or the deal's close to being done, or they're on the same page and they can, because they have such a great relationship and he's been here and won a Stanley Cup here, that they'll just get it done in the summer. No stress. We'll, you know, take care of all the other business you need to take care of and then get to me. That's typically what happens with Hall of Fame players or guys with their jerseys going to the roof. They're just, we'll get it done. We'll figure it out. Make sure you get all the other business sorted out. Tell me what you can get me and we'll go on from there.
It's Nessens Bruin analyst, Andrew Razor Raycroft. And so that was interesting. That was interesting there, that the Brad Marchand deal, he feels like it's basically a done deal.
The
like
deal?
The wink or the handshake?
Or
no, the extension. Extension. He already thinks he has an extension underway.
Has that been in the news?
No. There was a report a long time ago that there was a deal. And even Marchand, I think, did some media availability and were like, hey, I haven't heard that. I don't know where you get that.
Don't I hate playing on this team? Don't I hate my team, my line mate?
Are you saying you don't believe Rich Keefe's sources?
I did not insinuate that at all, but I appreciate what you tried to do there.
I'm just asking. Team Keefe or Team Marchand? Pound sand. Team Pound Sand. No, I just think it's interesting that he just thinks all of this is all just bluster and talk because it doesn't go away. Yeah. He is the lone wolf of nothing to see here. They're not taking calls. They're not listening. He's not going anywhere. He's going to sign an extension, and then they're going to take his sweater off, and they're going to hang it up there at the TD Garden, and, like, there's nothing to see here. And, Fitzy, you said you did it. Anyone who does it, if you Google Marchand, there's rumors. Like, and I'm talking about reputable people saying, well, the Bruins should take calls, might take calls, should consider, do this, do that. And Razor, I give him credit. He's dug his heels in, and Marchand's going to be a Bruin, whether they announce the contract today or in the middle of the summer, he's going
to
be extended.
Is it the Bruins brand? Does it fall in line with the Bruins brand to trade Brad Marchand?
I mean, it depends. I mean, Ray Bourque was traded, so there's no...
Did Ray Bourque want to be traded, though?
Yeah.
There's a difference.
He's the one that haunts him forever.
He wanted to be traded.
They want him to win. He won, and then we had an embarrassing celebration that he won somewhere else, and that whole thing. Joe Thornton got traded. There's no question about that. They've traded away star players. Tyler Seguin, which was,
Joe Thornton was a long time. I just don't see Sweeney... And Cam, it's not in their DNA. It's not part of their brand to trade away a captain.
Sure, but you know what else is supposed to be in their DNA? Making the playoffs, and they might not make the playoffs. And if you don't make the playoffs, should you be thinking long term? Should you be utilizing assets to garner draft picks, to garner prospects, whatever? Like, this has been a weird season for the Bruins. They didn't start hot. They didn't, our guy Arcand was all over this from day one, that they have a certain business model. It's come out hot out the gates, cruise to the playoffs, get to the playoffs, underperform, and we're used to it. Now it's like stumble out the gates, might not make the playoffs, fired the coach, GM is on a hot seat, players are on a hot seat. You know, this is not their model of success in business in recent years. And so I think some people think you have to look at it differently. Razor seems to think that Brad Marchand is a made man, that there's not even a consideration. Dan, I don't know if you feel like I'm mischaracterizing this at all, or
no. I the one thing I wanted to add to that though is Razor's assertion that there's already essentially an extension in, or there's a number out there. There's a team friendly, player friendly number that's out there already.
Mm.
That makes me want them to trade him more.
Oh,
if you already know that the contract is essentially more or less signed, get the assets for him, trade him to a contender. Give him a chance to win a cup, and then just sign him back this offseason.
The old Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah, why not?
Right.
It's happened before, and there's a chance you could get a first, at least a second round pick, a good draft asset.
You don't care for that?
Ted did not.
I don't.
Ted.
Wow.
Sound made me
that
think.
Sounds like just like, what are we guys? Seriously.
Business. It's a business. If you have that relationship with that player,
and you bring him back,
absolutely. You get something out of it. He gets something out of it. He's probably going to a team that is better in the standings, has a chance to do something.
Wow.
Stanley Cup.
You know
this
what? Go win somewhere else, and then come back. And you
make it sound dirtier than it is.
Andy? Go have better sex somewhere else, then come back.
Seriously,
here.
Seriously,
that's
start what it's like.
Here.
You know what, honey?
This isn't
you know
sex,
what?
This is
I know
business.
I don't do it for you. Go find what you got to find, and then come back to me.
Yeah, go have a better dinner. Go have a better sleep somewhere else.
Does she come back with like an extra $100K in the bank account, and we lead a better life? Right. Okay. If we're gonna take it that way, you're the creeps who took it that way. But if it lifts the family life moving forward, and we can all deal with it.
Oh man, that's
it is literally a decent proposal.
Yes.
I mean, like, holy smokes.
Let me give you my Ted. Let me give you my sales pitch.
Give it to me. Let's go,
Brad. I'm gonna try not to make this. Not to take down that same path.
Yeah,
play
some
porn music, Stiz.
No, let's stick to hockey.
So this is how I'm approaching Brad, Ted, and I want to get your thoughts.
Okay.
We still believe that you have gas left in the tank. We believe you have a couple years left, and we want you to win at least one more cup in Boston. We want you as a captain of the Bruins. You don't reassign the captaincy. We want you to win a cup with Boston before you retire. We're going to trade you, recoup some assets, give you a chance to win this year, and our team will be better next year when you re-sign because of the assets that we recoup, and you will have a better chance to win here in Boston by the time you retire.
Yeah, I bet you that's a good time, man. I don't know. That just sounds weird to me. I just can't get on board with that.
Aroldis Chapman did it with the Yankees, right?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Was Aroldis Chapman the captain?
Probably not.
A long
tenured
player? I believe
that was Derek
Jeter. Yeah, I just... There's no way. It's phenomenal that you guys are even throwing this scenario out there as if
is
it's
this
a real vibe. This is very far fetched.
Is this like a wrestling scenario we're promoting?
Very, very,
an angle?
Far fetched. And
kind of liked it, Dan.
There's
sorry.
A
this is gross.
I read somewhere. I'm trying to find it. Jim McBride. I can't remember who wrote it, but Marchand's talked about. He gave a number about when he wanted to retire from hockey. Did you guys see that?
Because
I can tell you right now with this new deal, what the length of the new deal is going to be. I can tell you exactly what it's going to be.
What?
It's going to be a 4-year deal. You know how I know that?
Smokes.
Because Brad Marchand is on record saying he wants to play hockey until he's 40.
Oh boy, we're doing the Brady thing.
And he's, oh yeah. Well, of course he is. He learned it from the best. I mean, why not just drag this thing out?
What if he sucks in 2 years?
I'm thinking it's a 4-year deal. That he's going to be signing pretty soon because he's 36 years old and he wants to replay until he's 40 because he likes these young kids get to see him play. He likes kind of where he's at in his life. So, to me, it's going to be a 4-year deal.
Okay.
So he's not going anywhere. And if you listen to his recent comments about being traded, he's kind of just like, nah, I'm not even thinking about it. It's not going to happen. I'm not even worried about it. So I hear no tension in his voice. It's almost as if he knows he's getting extended pretty soon.
Okay, so Razor tells us it's coming in the summer. Ted Johnson tells us it's a 4-year deal, and Brad Marchand will be here until he's 40. I guess there's nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
We'll just move along. Back to Bregman, back to the Red Sox, back to the excitement that is in Red Sox Nation right now. He's officially, well, I guess unofficially, we're kind of putting the cart before the horse, as Lou said. It's not quite official yet, but Alex Bregman is going to bring some excitement to the baseball season this spring, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But I just unearthed something that I didn't love, and I'll share it with you next on WEEI Afternoons. Alex Bregman's first home run last year. Do you know what game it came in? You might not like what you hear. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here.
If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.